Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome into another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, how are you doing today?
I am great, Ryan. How are you? My Pens beat the Caps last night in Game 7. The city is flying high. It was looking bleak there for a while, but all's well.
I don't even know what you're talking about, but congratulations. We don't know about that in the Bluegrass State, but I know the Pittsburgh folks are excited.
Absolutely.
Matt, today we are going to we're flying solo or maybe duo. I don't know. It's just us two, no guest. We're going to answer quite a few listener questions, most of those related to rookies and rookie drafts, which are going on. How are your rookie drafts going?
I've only had the one, you know, that we did talk about, and I wasn't super active in that one. I only had one pick, so I don't have a whole lot to report. How about you? I have a feeling you're a little more active than me.
Yeah, I've had quite a few. Had some rookie drafts, of course, and some rookie auctions as well, which are always fun. Yeah, lots of movement. I mentioned this the other day on Twitter. I found myself trading down much more than I thought I would. Okay. And maybe that's because you can move down and still get some quality players. Maybe that's the depth of some of these tiers, especially the second tier. But that wasn't necessarily the plan going in, but got some strong offers and I've been moving down. Actually just moved down from the 6th pick overall, was probably looking at Mike Williams, and got the 12 overall, mm-hmm. the 13 overall, and the 22 overall. So three picks in that top 25 range, as we talked about last week. That's kind of where we want to be to get multiple shots at it. So I gave up Mike Williams, who I do like, but to get three of those guys in that next tier, I feel pretty good about that.
I guess my next question is, if you're moving down a lot, did you find yourself picking up a lot of future picks?
I got one. In most cases, I'm either trading for players or just multiple picks. And like in this deal I just mentioned, I was able to acquire one 2018 first and moved out of the 2.02 pick. So even that early second brought a first round value for next year.
That makes sense. Yeah, I think that's fair.
All right. As I said, we are going to answer some of your questions. We'll get to as many as we can. We were lucky to get quite a few. And as always, if we don't answer them on here, we will try to do that on Twitter. The first one comes from Bob, and Bob says, what do I do with my two rookie picks from last season? Last year he drafted Josh Dotson, Laquon Treadwell. We both know how that went. And what's their value in 2017 picks? Before we get to their current value in drafts, what are you doing with those two? I know you're a Dotson fan a little bit. Are you still a believer in him? Are you buying either one of those guys?
I would be buying Dotson. Yeah. I mean, I think he's in a really good situation. I know they brought in Pryor, but their moves indicate to me that they have faith in him. They obviously loved him from back when. I heard even Greg Cosell saying this week or last week, you know, how, and I forgot this, but Dotson was his top ranked wide receiver in that group. I think he projects well for touchdowns. You know, he's not just a big play specialist or something like that. Treadwell, if you got him, I don't think you could sell him. And oh, by the way, they signed Michael Floyd yesterday too. I'm not sure that that's huge news, but you know, he's had success in this league in Minnesota, you know, and now he's a Viking. You can't get anything for Treadwell. I don't think of buying either, though. I mean, I don't want anything to do with them. I mean, and I loved them. I really did. But, boy, I want to see something. I'd like to hear a good blurb or something about the guy.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. I got offered, and I think this might be a league we're in together. I think it is. I got offered Treadwell for a future second-round pick. And before I could even make up my mind, somebody else had accepted the same deal. So I'm sure – Treadwell owner had made multiple offers, which is understandable, and somebody else took him up on it. But I guess that says something that as high as I was on Treadwell this time last year, that was a question. I couldn't decide. Somebody else accepted that same deal and gave a 2018 second. But that's about where his value is. And Bob is asking about current pick value. I certainly don't think Treadwell is worth a first rounder, even though many people spent the 1-2 or 1-3 on him this time last year. To me, he's in that mid-second round range, if you're talking about current picks. What about Dotson? Where are you? You said you'd be a buyer. Are you giving up? Let's get him out of that top tier, that top six. Are you giving the 1-7 for Dotson?
I was just about to ask you, would you rather have Dotson or Mike Williams? Because I think I'd rather have Dotson. So okay. I'll give you 1-6, but I won't give you 1-5.
I won't give any of that. I'm not a Dotson fan.
Okay. You're right. I know.
I do think the situation looks better. I think the moves that the Redskins have made and haven't made this offseason bode well for their faith in him. But who's his quarterback next year?
That's what I was about to say.
We have no idea. So on top of the health issues, there are some other things to be concerned about. I still think, in general, if you're talking market value, 1-6, 1-7, 1-8, that's probably what you're going to see Treadwell go for.
Dotson, right.
You said Treadwell. Yes. Yes, sorry.
One more Treadwell question. And if I recall, 365 days ago, I think you and I had Treadwell at like 1-2 or 1-3, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it was that high, right?
Yes. Yeah. He was the 1-2 for me for sure. Again, I wasn't a Dotson fan then either. So he was the easy 2 pick for me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. If you take a step back and think, boy, his stock has fallen so dramatically, and it's not like he's in a Josh Gordon situation or a Martavis Bryant situation or shredded his Achilles or something. He just didn't get on the field. At all. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but wow. It was only 1 year ago we loved them.
So does that mean we should be buying then, especially if you're talking about random like that future seconds?
Yeah,
maybe I should have done the deal.
Maybe, but the Vikes haven't exactly exuded confidence in the guy.
No, and if we want to talk quarterback for Dotson, we have to do the same with Treadwell.
Not as much, though. I think Bridgewater is going to be out of the equation. I think Bradford is going to be a long-term starter there, where I think Cousins is – they're renting him for one more year in Washington, and then who knows?
Bradford being the long-term starter is a good thing, though.
I hear what you're saying. I still protect this guy a little bit. I feel like he gets a bum rap because everywhere he goes, he's also the easiest guy in the world to defend. You can always blame somebody else for his struggles. But last year, I felt like that offense became unbelievably conservative and unbelievably short passing game because they had me and you and three other jokers blocking for him. They had to adapt.
And they had no running game either. So
correct. But it goes back to the line.
Right. An improved line through the draft. Dalvin Cook through the draft. Maybe a big change this year. Next question. This one is just for you. This comes from Steve. What is the obvious change in the offensive philosophy for Jacksonville, bringing in Tom Coughlin, adding Fournette with their early first-round pick? What does that mean for their passing game, specifically Allen Robinson? So how do you see that offense changing?
Well, to take it one step further, I think we have to realize that if you recall in 2014, they used a second-round pick on Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson. Both those guys are going to be free agents now. They're coming up for free agency at the same time. So it was kind of an inconspicuous pick, but they drafted Dede Westbrook. So I'm wondering if they're going to lock up Lee or more likely Robinson, and then Westbrook gets inserted as a different type of guy who's going to be in a lot more run first, play action, take deep shots type of Tom Coughlin conservative offense. And in a way, it's kind of like the Vikes, where I think that the Jags' approach to winning football games is going to be similar to Minnesota's in that we've built ourselves a pretty good D here, and we have a lot invested in it. We did pick up Bortles' fifth-year option, same draft class, and we used a very early pick on Cam Robinson, a highly sought-after offensive lineman. But I think everything goes through Fournette. I still think Allen Robinson has number one wide receiver value and skills. And would it be the worst thing in the world if he left Jacksonville? You know, like, I don't know that that would kill his value, especially if he goes somewhere, you know, replaces Jeffrey in Philly or whatever. but I do think they are in the process of a scheme change. But it's going to be a lot of Fournette all the time. I mean, I think it's going to be like 1980s football.
We mentioned it last week. I really see several teams that seem to be going with a new offensive philosophy. And I'm just really anxious to see how that plays out. Carolina is another one. And, of course, we've seen it with Jacksonville. So that's almost a wait-and-see thing. I don't think it could certainly hurt the volume when it comes to Robinson as far as the number of targets he sees or the number of passes, Bortles, even attempts. But I'm not sure that's necessarily a bad thing in the end if he can see better targets as a result of a good run game.
Right, more eight-man boxes, more one-on-one situations, more play action, more defenses keying on Fournette. And I also think probably this next offseason they'll add some sort of tight end of relevance too.
Yeah, they almost have to. I don't think they just have nothing left there.
No, you're right.
Next question comes from Eric. He says he has Amari Cooper, Dez Bryant, Jordy Nelson, Cooks, Demaryius, and the 1.02 pick, but nothing at running back. He already knows Fournette is going 1.01. So does he take Davis or does he take a running back or does he even trade for a running back? I guess. And
what's your call?
I think a lot of people are going to be in this situation because I think that top tier. And again, when we're talking top tier, we mentioned this last week. I think we agree that we see it as a top tier of four and then a slight drop to five and six. Mm-hmm. So anybody in that top tier, they're all pretty close. So would you be using need as a tiebreaker essentially? Do you have that mentality of I need a running back, so I'm taking one here? Because the normal advice is draft the best player available. Don't worry about need, especially when you're talking about rookie drafts.
And I guess to look into it further, if that's who he has at receiver, he has to be a contender, I would think. You know, that he's not a bottom dweller. Probably didn't earn that 1-2 spot. So to compound the situation, I just want to grab Mixon or McCaffrey and make a run this year, even though that's not my normal philosophy. I mean, I'm not saying that's what I do, but I think you have to think about it through that perspective as well. And I also think that I would have been shopping Dez, Jordy, and Demaryius all offseason anyways. You know, that I think you could get something pretty strong for those guys and still take Davis. So in the end, if this is it in a nutshell, I take Davis at 1-2, and I'm shopping my receivers for running back help.
I'm okay with that. I think the only issue with shopping those guys, you mentioned Dez, Jordy, Demaryius, I don't think the offseason is the time to do that. The offseason is when people are focused on these rookies. Their only mindset is unlimited upside with young players. And I mean, I've been there too, and I still kind of get to that point sometimes. So the offseason is the time to buy veterans. And if you can hold off and sell those guys during the season, if those are the moves you need to make, if he's a contender, just ride it out. But in the end, I think this class is close enough, that top four, that I think you can consider need. If he has terrible options at running back, I don't know how many he starts. If he starts two, that makes it even easier to go with a running back at two overall, I would say.
That's a great point. And I think most, you know, experienced dynasty people know this, but some people that are just listening that only play, regular base fantasy type leagues, there are most of the dynasty leagues out there. You can get away with starting one running back, which is a huge advantage, you know. But if he has to start two, I think that's a tiebreaker for me. Then I'm taking Mixon or McCaffrey and plugging them in and starting them every week as opposed to Davis, who I do like better.
Next question comes from John. I think this is going to be an easy one for you, Matt. New dynasty startup, would you trade the 1.03, so the 1.03 overall in a new league, for the 1.11 and the 2.2? He says the top two picks are going to be Elliott and Beckham. So Zeke and OBJ off the board. He gets the 1.03, probably Mike Evans, maybe David Johnson, depending on how you like to build your team. Or you can have two picks in the top, the top 14.
I want the two picks, yeah. And easily for me, to be honest with you. And I don't have a dynasty top 25 or anything like that. I have my rookie list, but I don't have a veteran list. But I would think Evans is a pretty clear three if I were sitting there and those two are gone. And then 111, I mean, what are you looking at then? Are you talking worst case, is that Brandon Cooks or –
I don't think that
who's going in that neighborhood off the top of your head.
Robinson, Hopkins, AJ Green is sometimes falling there. Right. Michael Thomas, Cooks.
Right. And you can still keep trading back, you know? So yeah, Evans is great, but he's not worth Cooks and Hopkins.
Yeah. I mean, that's potentially what you're looking at too from that group. And
right.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I want the two picks. I love the idea of trading down in a dynasty startup. That's really strong value to get two of those top 14 picks. Anthony wants to know about Carlos Hyde. I know he's a guy you like as well, Matt. He's trying to flip Hyde, hoping to get the 1.06, but wants to know if we would settle for the 1.09.
I do like Hyde a lot as a player, and I think he's potentially often underrated. But man, I'm souring on him. You know, and part of it goes back to our podcast from last week, how excited I am about Joe Williams. If I'm the Niners, I think I'm shopping Hyde. I obviously understand he has a hard time staying on the field. His receiving prowess or lack thereof doesn't exactly endear him to Shanahan. He's not Freeman or Coleman, that's for sure. But a new home might do him good. What if he ended up in Philadelphia? But I would rather have 1.6 for sure than Carlos Hyde right now. I really just don't like the 1.9, 1.10, 1.11 area of the draft. But I guess that's his value. You know, I kind of feel like if I were to trade Hyde for 1.9, I would then be shopping 1.9.
I think so too. But if you're shopping 1.9, you can almost certainly get a 2018 first rounder if you wanted to settle for that. You might get even more.
That's a good way of looking at
it. So the question is,
would you rather have 1.9 or a 2000? Would you rather have Hyde 1.9 or an 18 first?
I don't know, but Hyde is the last of those choices. I'd take any first rounder for him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
this year or 18, really. Some of the same concerns you have, new coaching staff and the injury history. Yeah, I'd be getting out from him. Anthony has another question. He also has the 1.01 pick and really surprised that he's not getting some major offers. He wants to know if it's maybe just the mindset of anybody in the top four will work.
See, I think you'll be way more down into this than I would. I mean, you've done more drafts and you're more on top of the day-to-day, you know, dynasty vibes.
Right.
But I would imagine that's it. I mean, if anyone's listening to us, the difference between 1.4 and 1.1 is very minimal.
I think that's certainly it. And, you know, I sense Anthony's frustration with that because you get the 1.1, whether you trade for it or earn it the old-fashioned way. And then you expect to just be able to trade that pick for a ransom. And this year, it's not really happening. In trades, the 1.1, the 1.2, the 1.3, they're all bringing similar value. So that doesn't mean you can't trade the pick. It just means it's worth about the same as even the 1.04. So that is frustrating, but I would either try to move down slightly and stay inside that top four, even if you're just getting, you know, an early third rounder or late second rounder thrown in, or I'd simply just pick my favorite guy and move forward with it.
If I had 1.4 and you had 1.1 and I said, let's swap and I'll give you my 18 second, do you take it? I mean, it doesn't seem like much. I mean, for most years, you know, everyone would say no most years.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, I'm not desperate to move out. I'm happy to take Corey Davis. I like all three running backs, but they all have their warts. So I probably wouldn't take that. But again, if you're desperate to move down, that's the return you might be looking at.
Yeah, that sounds like the going rate.
Tyson says, who are a couple names that will outperform their rookie ADP? And he mentions Jordan Howard from last year as an example. So who are some guys maybe going in that second or third round range that you could see maybe making an immediate impact? Is, you already mentioned Joe Williams. Is he one of those guys? Do you think he can make
–
Can he make a difference in 2017?
I think so. I mean, I think Kareem Hunt could. I think P. Ryan absolutely could and may even be the front runner to start there. Something big would have to happen for Connor to get there, but if it would, it would be a big shift and a huge hit. I think you really need to pay attention to what's going on in Green Bay. Jamal Williams, if he doesn't get too much resistance from Aaron Jones, I think could become the lead back there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to make in Green Bay, honestly. I still think Montgomery is the guy, unlike some of these other spots like Washington and even Kansas City. I'm not ready to just give up on the veteran there in favor of the young guys. I still like Montgomery quite a bit. I think he can, at the very least, be a productive flex type option in fantasy leagues, and be a, you know, be half of that committee attack.
What about Wayne Gallman with the Giants or Marlon Mack with the Colts?
I'm off of both of those guys. I'm hoping somebody takes those, either or both of those guys in the mid second. I would not be surprised at all if the Giants and the Colts both took a first round running back next year. We talked for over a year about how great the 2017 class is. We're going to start doing the same with the 2018 class. There's two running backs that just look to be on that elite level of some of these guys that we've seen the past couple of years with Gurley and Elliott and Fournette, you know, just as prospects. And of course, talking about Barkley and Darius Geis. But then there's some nice depth to that class too. A few other guys who are potential first rounders, Nick Chubb and others. So all that goes to say that I don't think a third or fourth or fifth round pick is going to necessarily tie those teams to those running backs. Now, I mean, if they come out and perform like Jordan Howard, that's a different story, but I don't really expect that.
Now, especially Mac, and if everyone out there listening remembers, every expert we had on loved or hated Mac. You know, like there was no in between, and they were wide views on him. But he's in the dome, and what if Gore breaks down and he actually, you know, by week five, he's their lead back and catches a lot of passes and shootouts. I'm just making cases for them. I doubt either want to be on my team. But Gallman, he might be the goal line vulture. You know, what could be a pretty good offense?
I think Gallman has some value this year. You know, as much as some of these other guys we've mentioned, he would just be a guy I would be looking to sell the first chance I got, you know, if we're looking for a profit. So if you take him
– two good games in a row.
Yeah, take him in the late second or the early third, and then you package him with a second rounder for a first or something like that. He would be a guy I would be looking to sell. But I do kind of expect some production. I don't think Paul Perkins is going to be the every down back there.
Well said. I agree.
A couple other guys I like in that second, third round range. I still like Taywan Taylor. He's kind of been going under the radar a little bit in some of my early drafts, falling to the third, and even I think he even fell to the fourth round in one of those, which is crazy. So I like Taywan Taylor, Josh Reynolds.
Wow. Does Carlos Henderson ever fall to the third?
Yeah.
I like him quite a bit.
Yep.
I like him.
And then the Ardarius Stewart with the Jets. He's another one that I've been targeting in that late second, early third round range.
Yeah, he's my 24th ranked player. I'm a big Stewart fan as well.
J. Jason wants to know about Davante Adams, his value in rookie picks. So, would you put Davante Adams in that top tier of Mixon, Fournette, McCaffrey, and Corey Davis? Is he valued? Should he be valued alongside those guys?
To me, I was going to start this conversation. I saw the question ahead, and I was going to start the question, you know, the right back at you like we did earlier. Mike Williams or Davante Adams? I'd rather have Adams.
I'd rather have Adams for sure. I'd rather have Adams than Cook. So
okay, that was the one I was on the fence about, but I was leaning towards Adams myself. But I think I'd rather have Mixon, McCaffrey, Fournette, or Davis, though. So he'd be fifth in my rookie board.
Yeah. I think he's in that top tier for me. And I've, you know, I admittedly have had such a hard time differentiating between those four guys. I've taken McCaffrey over Fournette. I've taken Fournette over McCaffrey. So it has become just a stock market thing. I'm investing a little bit in all four of those guys, and Adams would be thrown into that group as well for me.
Yeah, I don't think we're far off there, no. But I do think I would take those three backs ahead of them. I want to tell people about our buddies over at Loot Crate. And if you've been listening, you've heard quite a bit about what these guys do. They send you a crate, a geeky crate, to be honest with you, for under $20 a month, every month. And there's a new theme every month. And May's theme is Guardians. So there's some franchises that has, you know, their collectibles in them. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Destiny, Goonies, Star Wars, which is obviously a huge franchise. And one lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate featuring a premium format Groot figure from Sideshow Collectibles that stands over 22.5 inches tall, as many as other prizes. So it's the best surprise, you know, is coming every month, whether it's for the geek in your life or if you are that geek, of course. Last month's theme was Investigate. They did a bunch of X-Files things, which I was a big fan of. So very cool. They're authentic, licensed, exclusive products. And every month includes a different theme with new exclusive items. Every crate is over $45 in value, and it costs you less than $20 a month. And it's even less than that when you go to lootcrate.com/dynastyblueprint, all one word, enter the code dynastyblueprint, and you'll save a couple extra bucks off an already cheap subscription. And on the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time, that's when the cutoff happens. And when it's over, it's over, and you will be out of luck. And you won't get your Guardians crate. So get on that now.
Next question comes from Keegan. He wants to know, which rookie quarterback outside of the top four would you look to stash on a deep Superflex team? So I'm looking at the DLF rankings, and outside of the top four, of course, he's talking about Watson, Mahomes, Trubisky, and DeShone Kizer. So some of the other guys after that, Davis Webb, Joshua Dobbs, Nathan Peterman, Brad Kaya, CJ Beathard, Chad Kelly. Are you stashing any of those guys? I know you don't play Superflex, but you certainly understand the value difference and, right, and how even those young quarterbacks who, you know, who might turn into something or might get a chance have some major value. So out of those guys, Webb, Dobbs, Peterman, Kaya, Beathard, Kelly, who are you stashing?
I think if you're going to play it kind of close to the vest, Peterman makes sense. You know, maybe Tyrod Taylor does not come back next year. This staff did not draft Cardale Jones. They did draft Peterman. Maybe they are looking for a real game manager type. If you want to roll the dice, I think Dobbs has some immense upside. You know, if Ben Roethlisberger would give it up after this year or the next, and he becomes the man. But to really roll the dice is the Matt Waldman favorite in Chad Kelly, you know, because he was Mr. Irrelevant. He goes to a gunslinger GM building. Simeon, to me, is a total jag and is just going to get in the way, but not much. And he's not much resistance when you look big picture. Kelly's immensely talented. And Lynch has been very immature slash, you know, not taking the job by the reins. And I know there's a lot of concerns about Kelly, but if he hits huge. And you know, Matt Waldman's the one to listen to on this one. I think he had him as a second-ranked quarterback in this draft class.
Yeah, I've got some concerns about Kelly, like everyone does. I mean, first of all, he's not going to throw a ball for what, 4 months or something like that. He's got an injury, so we can pretty much consider this 2017 season a lost one for him, or a redshirt season. But at the same time, I agree with what you're saying. I'm not worried about Simeon as a long-term option there. Same for Lynch, honestly, at this point, even though they spent a first rounder on them, we've heard nothing positive out of him. You know, Treadwell gets all the hate because dynasty owners spent a top two pick on him,
right.
We've heard nothing positive and seen nothing positive from Lynch, the Broncos first rounder last year either.
I think Lynch will be the quarterback this year, though.
You think?
Sink or swim.
Okay, so you think he beats out Simeon? Do you think they stick with Simeon as a backup?
Yes, and Kelly, like you said, is probably a total redshirt guy. But if Lynch sinks instead of swims, then maybe they look at Kelly and say, well, you're healthy. You've been in the system for a year. Let's give you at least an opportunity to win a job.
Yeah, that could put them in a really bad spot. You know,
if
they decide Simeon is just, you know, just a jag, like you said, just a guy, just backup quality, they give Lynch a shot. If he flops, now they're at this point next year, or they're early in the offseason next year. They know it's not Lynch. They know it's not Simeon. And all they have is this guy that they spent the last pick in the entire draft on, who's a punk off the field, you know, to be kind, and is coming off this serious injury. So, that would just be a tough spot. They would have to add a quarterback, you would think, in the 2018 draft, but how early? Whew.
It would be ugly.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly. The other guy, and I think you mentioned him, Josh Dobbs, he was not a guy I necessarily thought I would be targeting or stashing pre-draft, but I like the landing spot with Pittsburgh. Big Ben gets hurt every single year, and of course now there's this retirement talk, which is probably going to be a year-to-year thing. I didn't even think Dobbs would be a quarterback, honestly. I thought they would try to convert him to DB or something else. So I think he has some 2017 value, I think.
Maybe. I kind of disagree on that one. You know, they just re-signed Landry Jones. They like Landry Jones more than I do. That if and when Ben gets hurt, I think it's Jones for two or three games.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, Matthew Mills has a question about tight ends, and I think it's a good question and a good topic. We're always told don't draft rookie tight ends early because they take time to develop. What makes this crop so different? He said it feels like this year is the opposite of the normal tendencies that we say, wait on these tight ends. It'll be 3 years before they help your fantasy teams or help their NFL teams. Yet we see Ingram and Njoku and OJ Howard going in the first round or in the early second round of rookie drafts. What makes this class different? Do you expect them being those three or any of the later guys, do you expect them to develop quicker, or do you think their upside is just so great that it's worth spending a first round pick on?
See, I think you said this well last week. I think this is how you phrased it. It was something along the lines of, I really like Ingram and Howard and Njoku, but I have a feeling I can buy them for 75 cents on the dollar in week 8. You know what I mean? Is that kind of like the thoughts you had on it?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And I think that's great because, you know, like last week, right before the podcast, when we were putting together our rookie ranks, after I got to Kamara at 1-7, all of a sudden, I was just looking at it like, I don't like P. Ryan enough. I don't like Hunt enough. I guess I'll take a tight end at 1-8, 1-9, but I don't really want to. And that's a big reason why that portion of this rookie draft is not a sweet spot for me. So I kind of think that the answer to this question is, yeah, these are three exceptional NFL, you know, prospects. But from where we sit in a dynasty perspective, I don't think they're any different than any other year. I bet they don't put up big numbers this year.
Yeah, the trade I mentioned earlier where I was on the clock at, and I think it was 2.02, Njoku is the guy I was looking at. And the offer comes through basically 2018 first, and I got a little upgrade later in the draft as well. And I'm thinking if we fast forward a week or two and somebody else has Njoku and they offer me a trade of him for my 2018 first, am I doing that? I thought probably not even considering it. So I guess that way of thinking about it helped me make that deal.
And along those lines, like you said originally, say it is week 8. What's the chances Njoku has 5 touchdowns and 600 yards with Kessler and Kaiser throwing on the ball?
Yeah, not very
slim.
Good.
Right. I bet he has 230 yards and a touchdown. And, you know, maybe he has 3 or 4 plays. You say, oh, that looks good. But might not even be seeing the field regularly. I mean, the chances that his stock goes up dramatically to me is pretty slim. It's pretty high right now.
All right, Matt, this is going to be our last question. This comes from William, and he says, with the latest denial from the NFL, this is the big news of the day, should we give up on Josh Gordon in Dynasty? What are your thoughts on Gordon overall?
Who? I don't think you give up. I don't think you cut him for a fourth tight end, you know, that you kind of like that's out there. He can still – I briefly read the RotoWorld clip today. It sounds like in the fall he can ask again. And I don't know what'll change. I mean, I guess if he's a model citizen for this much time longer and passes every test that they ask of him and all those things, that he has a chance to get back in. But, I mean, so no. I mean, if it's a yes – you know, this was a yes-no question. Should we give up on Josh Gordon in Dynasty? No. But would you rather have Josh Gordon or Michael Floyd? I mean, he's like in that realm now. Like, he did something good, but, you know, I have Michael Floyd in the league and somebody offered me an 18-3rd for him. I'm like, oh, no, I'll keep him.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not giving up on Gordon. I only have him on one league or one roster at this point, but I'm certainly not dropping him. I would trade him if there was any interest, but I don't think there will be.
You wouldn't trade him for an 18-3rd though, right?
No. I mean, I'd still want a second. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
What I mean, if we're talking a third rounder this year, one of those early third rounders, and Carlos Henderson fell or Adarius Stewart was there. I mean, I'd take Adarius Stewart for him. I'd take Josh Reynolds for him.
Yeah.
So,
you know, if you're on the clock, you know, or someone's on the clock at 3-1 and they want out and they say, hey, I'll give you 3-1 for Gordon and you can get Henderson, then yeah.
Right.
But no one's going to do that.
No. The only thing I thought of, I hope they do, but.
Right. No one's going to do
the
that.
The only thing I thought of when I saw that report today was, I didn't look this up. I don't have this detailed history laid out, but I remember a similar situation with an earlier Gordon suspension, where he was turned down or at least it was pushed back, and everybody took that as terrible news, the end of the world, his value is shot. And then right before, I think it was right before the season, and I can't even remember what season it was, but they brought him back. So I guess we have no idea how the inner workings of the NFL go, especially as far as these suspensions. You know, they let Bryant comes back and Darrell Washington comes back after I think he missed a couple of years, maybe, if I'm not mistaken. And then they just keep turning down Josh Gordon. So we have no idea what's going on with him or with the NFL, but I would just say I still think there's a chance they reinstate him in the fall.
Along those lines, there's another Twitter question. This one comes in from @WilliamsonNFL,
okay,
directed exactly at Ryan, not at Matt. And in a hyperactive league, it so happens, this Williamson character has been asking about hometown favorite Martavis Bryant. The trade, the current owner of Mr. Bryant is not happy with 113 and something, you know, some spare change, some garbage for Bryant. He's insisting on 1-7. Team Williamson isn't biting on that. He also owns 2-6 and 2-8. So you own 1-7, 1-13, 2-6, 2-8. What are you willing to give up in that package for Martavis?
It's a good question. I think you're right. I certainly wouldn't give that mid-first rounder.
No, I can't do 1-7.
No, and I mean, I've said, I think on here and on Twitter that I just don't trust Brian at this point. I love the talent. I love just what he can do on the field. It's amazing, and he could be a top. He could be a top 10 wide receiver if we can, if he can get past the off field stuff. I have no idea if he's done that. There have been some good reports, some videos of him working out and things on YouTube I've seen. And of course he's back now. He's been reinstated conditionally. So the signs are looking good. If I'm a Bryant believer, a Bryant fan, if I'm a Steelers fan, like I think this listener might be, this person posing the question, I'm willing to give 1-13 and probably one of those second rounders as well. So I would do that, but I would not give the 1-7.
Right. 1-7's off the table here. You know, it's for in this situation for me, he won't bite on 1-13, but that's an area that I'm not really loving the draft. There's an offer of 1-13 and 3-10. He doesn't seem too excited about that as well. Maybe 2-8 and 1-13 is what gets it done, I suppose.
Yeah, like I said, if you're a Bryant believer, I think that's pretty fair value. Of course, this might be – it's probably not the worst time to buy Bryant, but if you're a Bryant guy, those are deals you should have been pushing for 3 months ago.
One more note on that, and I just want to double check it. I went to spottrack.com. His contract's up after the year. I mean, he's one of those many receivers from that 2014 draft class. You know, we talked about Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, you know, the Moncriefs of the world. Remember all those receivers that came out? Well, all those guys that aren't first round pick, they're going to be free agents after this year. And I can't imagine that the Steelers are going to give him big money, but maybe somebody will.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. You're obviously plugged in there in Pittsburgh, and just think about,
they're not going to give him big money.
Think about, I would think not, the type of season that he would have to overshadow what's happened the past year, year and a half.
And even if he has that amazing season, you franchise him.
Right.
You don't give a 5-year deal.
But, I mean, would anybody?
Right. I don't know. Would Dallas?
I don't know. That's,
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be really interesting.
I mean, when is the time to buy Bryant then? Do you, if you haven't bought him already?
And Juju looms.
Maybe now is the time to buy Bryant. Assuming, of course, if you haven't already, you should have earlier if you're a fan, but you know, you can't wait until training camp.
Not if he's lighting it up and he's running with the ones and, you know, what's one of the best offenses in the league. Yeah. Williamson NFL is getting a conundrum here.
Yeah. He should have traded for Brian a few months ago. He could have got him for 1 second rounder, I think.
Yeah. Maybe 2-6 would have got it done. Well, the offer is going in for 2-8 and 1-13 as we speak. Proposed trade, boom.
All right. Keep us up to date on that.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.